Okay, so the Torah tells us in Parsha Kisavo, it's actually a very sort of intriguing and almost difficult series of psukim to read in the beginning of Parak Chavzayin, that B'nai Yisrael, Moshe commands us that when we cross over into the Yarden, it's important that it's important that we establish these very large rocks. We write the Torah on those rocks. The Torah seems to reiterate that just a couple of psukim later. Make sure to have these rocks set up. And make sure to write on those avanim. Make sure, please, to write the Torah on it. There are a couple of questions that are probably even less, that are more important, but we won't focus on. One question which we've shown debate at length is what exactly was written on those rocks. The Ramban quotes a tradition that all of Torah from Bereishis until Einei Kol Yisrael were written on those rocks. Says the Ramban, you know, if that's true, the rocks were either really big or there was some sort of miraculous event taking place. Some quote from Absadi Gaon, the Ibn Ezra, and others. There's a list of all the mitzvos on those rocks. The Yosef Ibn Kaspi thinks that maybe on those rocks with the Aseret HaDibros, different opinions about what exactly was on those rocks. The second issue, which we're going to speak a little bit less about, is how many sets of rocks actually were there that were going to be set up? Rashi quotes in his Perush al HaTorah that there were three sets of rocks that got established. Rashi's list of three includes the rocks that he says that were in the Yarden, rocks that were at Har Eval, and rocks that were then at Gilgal. That's Rashi's list of three. The Chizkuni already points out that the Gemara in Maseches Sota quotes a different list of what the three sets of rocks were. The Gemara in Sota and Laman Hayim Abayz says one set of rocks Moshe Rabbeinu set up in Eretz Moav, another set Yehoshua set up in the Yarden, and the third set was Echad Shehikim Bilgilgal. Those were rocks Rashi says were initially there at Har Eval. We ended up moving them over, and the Maharal and others had to figure out how exactly we square the fact that Rashi and the Gemara all say that there are three sets of rocks, but Rashi's list of three are a little bit different than the Gemara's list of three, and that's a discussion. What I'd love to talk about, which I think is an intriguing question in the world of Machshava, is why are we writing the Torah on rocks? In general, we do invest a little bit of time when it comes to writing a Sefer Torah. We have halacha about the kind of parchment that it needs to be on. Torah, important as it is, we are often very careful to make sure that that what you write it on has a certain status, and that we tend to be very conscious about making good decisions about what you're writing it on. Why would it be that we would choose, be it, it's three sets of rocks, why are we doing that specifically on rocks? Are there not other things we could have written the Torah on? What is the significance of writing it specifically on rocks? What exactly is going on here? So we're going to quote three different Mahalchim. One is the Marsha in Sota Andaf Lamed Hey. We'll quote a beautiful Shemi Shmuel from this week's Parsha, and we'll quote, I think, is a very intriguing idea from this in Alpert. Let's begin as follows. Says the Marsha like this. Why are there three sets of rocks, and why are you writing on rocks altogether? So says the Marsha, you know, there is a machloka, some of us may be aware of this, but how many Ikari Emuna there really are? The Rambam understands that there are 13 Ikarim. Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikarim very famously believes that there are only three main Ikarim. There are three main Ikarim. Those three Ikars for the Sefer Ikarim include Torah min HaShemayim, the belief that Torah comes down from Shemayim, the Metzias and the involvement of the Ribono Shel Olam in this world, and Schar Ve'onesh. Those are the three which are primary for Yosef Abel in the Sefer Ikarim. Torah min HaShemayim, Schar Ve'onesh, and the existence and involvement of Hashem in this world. Says the Marsha, working off of the Gemara's list of what the three rocks were, I think the three rocks represented those three fundamental foundational principles of Yosef Albo. Why are they rocks? Because rocks often connote a certain kind of permanence and foundation. When you're constructing something, the Evan Hayisod, the foundation rock, that's what it really ends up being. So says the Marsha. How does it line up? So one of them was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. The one done by Moshe Rabbeinu that represents on some level Torah min HaShemayim. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that brought down Torah min HaShemayim. That is the one associated with Moshe. The other rock was at Har Eval to Gilgal. That rock, we already heard about that rock at Har Eval. So that was a place we heard klalas and brachas. That connotes the idea of schar ve'onesh. If you listen, good things will happen. If you don't listen, bad things will happen. And the third rocks were set up in the Yarden. What was the purpose of setting them up in the Yarden? that represented God's not just a, that God's continued presence and ability to impact the world. That the Yarden could split shows that God continues to be involved. So says the Marsha as follows: these rocks, with whatever kind of Torah is on them, be it all of Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, say for Dvarim for the Yavar Benel, a list of all the mitzvot are tied on those rocks. Why are they specifically on rocks? As the Marsha, there's three kinds of rocks the Gemara tells us: Moshe in the Yarden, and then at Har Eval in Tegelgal. What's the pshad in those rocks? The three rocks. Rocks represent something foundational, and these three rocks represent Torah Mashemayim, Schar Veonash, and God's continued involvement in this world. That's why we specifically choose to do it with rocks. That's one suggestion. That is the pshad of the Marsha there in Maseches Sota. The Shemi Shmuel has a different pshad. The Shemi Shmuel has a very fascinating suggestion based on a comment of the Zohar. The Shemi Shmuel understands, you know, when you want to purify something, there are often like two steps. Sometimes there's like the purification process. Like an example would be, this is one mahalach of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. There's often a very, very hard, grueling experience, like us being avodah in Mitzrayim. That experience on some level helped position Klal Yisrael to be somewhat purer and helped sort of purify and clean us off that very difficult, like an arduous experience. But even when you go through a difficult experience, so we then have to be added in with some kedusha. We then have to get something, even if we've gotten rid of some of the bad, we need to be infused with a degree of good in order for us to be able to fully attain and realize our potential. Says the Shemi Shmuel the following thing: the purpose of the rocks were not there to serve as a reminder for Klal Yisrael of the foundational elements of our belief system. The purpose of the rocks was something else entirely. Eretz Yisrael was filled with the Zion Amamin. Those were Zion Amamin that were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Those were rocks that, those were people. We know that Eretz Yisrael, on some level, much of its Kedusha is constant, but as long as there were Ovdei Avodah Zarah there, Bnei Yisrael wasn't there, so that took a toll a little bit on elements of the Kedusha of where Eretz Yisrael really was. And there needed to be an infusion beyond the general Kedusha Eretz Yisrael always has, an extra infusion of Torah, of Kedusha, into Eretz Yisrael before Klal Yisrael was going to enter it. That's why we have these rocks, all as Bnei Yisrael sort of enter into Eretz Yisrael. Why is it rocks? Because rock is a domain. Rock is not a live being. Rock integrates. You take it and you put it in the ground. It becomes like mechubar lekarka. It becomes like part of the ground. The reason why we took the rock, says the Shemi Shmuel, ukvar yigadnu shekhtivas haTorah al ha'avanim shehein domimin. These are things that are domim. It's like the ground. Misachtin in chomer haaretz. It becomes like one with the ground itself, and in that sense, it becomes inyan bisim haaretz adeksivas haTorah al haavanim. It helps purify. It helps raise up the kedusha even more of Eretz Yisrael to have the rocks. To have the rocks that are there. So whereas for the Marsha, it's about communicating to us certainly kari emuna. For the Shemi Shmuel, it's about purifying Eretz Yisrael. So we enter Eretz Yisrael. We're in an even holier place. There's Torah, part of the ground, which really infuses it in a very, very special way. Says the Shemi Shmuel, because it's about that, it's about taking the Torah and infusing it, that's why it was specifically in those locations. It's in the Yarden, where the Kohanim went when they were holding the Aron. It's going to be in Har Eval, that's where we makabel the Torah with the Shvua. It's going to be in Gilgal, where we had the Olam Moed and the Mishkan and the Aron. These are places that are associated with Torah, and we're sort of establishing that as being part of Eretz Yisrael in a very, very meaningful and very, very beautiful way. Rav Nissen Alpert has a third shot. Rav Nissen Alpert was Rav Yehuda, one of the great Talmidim of Hakam, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Nissen Alpert passed away in 1986, shortly after Rav Moshe. He has some fascinating insights. He makes the following suggestion about the purpose of why specifically rocks. It says as follows: rocks are often, when you talk about traveling, so rocks in the way are impediments for the person's ability to really progress in a certain direction. Rocks are typically a michshol. If you want to, you know, build a highway, one of the first things you do is you get rid of all the large rocks and stones in the way so you can pave the ground and that people can go through in somewhat of a smoother way. Rocks represent a certain kind of michshol that is very much there. Said this now, Albert, the idea of taking those rocks and writing Torah on them serves as a reminder to Klal Yisrael. Said this now, Albert, for all of the struggles that we have gone through and our ability to nevertheless withstand and overcome those struggles. When you take the rocks that could have been michshels and you write Torah on it and you memorialize them, the message is a message to Klal Yisrael, says Rav Nishnalpert, Avanim misamon lemichsholos ha'adim ha'omdim bifnei b'nei adam. Rocks represent the struggles, those stumbling blocks that exist before people. make it everything much more difficult when there are rocks in the way. Sometimes in order to overcome certain struggles, it's important to remember the struggles that we've already overcome. If I know that I've made my way through difficulties, if I know I've made my way through a midbar, and a midbar where things were so hard, if I know that I made my way through the Yarden where it wasn't so simple, if I know I can make my way through Eretz Yisrael where things weren't so challenging, so it gives us a source of chizak. In that sense, it is communicating to Bnei Yisrael, those rocks, similar to what the Marsha suggested, but it's not about foundational ikarim of emunah, it's about foundational ideas about our ability to be successful. And then not to get sort of overwhelmed with challenges. Once we know we've been through something which is hard, so sometimes if we can remember that, it gives us the chizak and the knowledge to know we can continue to overcome, to persevere, even when there are challenges which happen to be present. So three mahalchem, what's on the rocks? That we spoke about a little bit. Three kinds of rocks, Rashi, the Gemara, and Sota, the Chizkuni, the Maral. But the most important question we're spending today, at least, was why rocks? Why rocks? Rocks are foundational. Rocks represent stumbling blocks, and rocks can become part of the ground. And each one represents, I think, an important idea about the purpose of what was happening here in Parshas Ki Savah.